Yo, what up, what up? Good morning, GMGM! Wednesday, May 15th. Wow, it's already mid-May, bro. 2020. Four. For all the fucking bears out there, 2024. Look at that. Another beautiful day to have a beautiful day. I got my co-hosts in the house. I was gonna say OSF man. That's how you say OSF man. It's like the one-liners in 700 shows, right? And now I gotta like retrain my brain. Hold on. Retrain your brain. I got my co-hosts in the house. Tyler Mando. How are you guys doing this morning? Good morning.
GM, it's a green morning. We're feeling good today. Ready to bash some bears with you here.
I knew I liked this guy. I knew like he opens his first show without always saying the bash some bears' heads. Mando, how are you doing today?
Doing great. Green day
feels good, right? Green Day feels good. By the way, great band. Green Day, Canadian band. Who wanted to be an American idiot? Da-na-na-na. Do you know the band Green Day, Mando? Do you guys used to listen to that in Europe?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Sick. Fine. Okay,
perfect. In Europe?
I don't know, man. Europe pours don't, you know, it's a different environment over there. What? I think you're lagging. No! It is lagging again for Mando. It's okay. Blame Lisbon. I have to rethink my whole Lisbon move here because this is not the internet I wanna be with. I gotta rethink this whole like moving to Portugal thing. I may move to Portugal once and only once they have proper internet. Tyler, you'll notice this has been happening for a while. There he is back. Maybe the duck background works. Mando?
No, it's still the Wi-Fi extender. I haven't figured it out. Like I genuinely haven't. Like this is not Lisbon. Going to Lisbon, internet speeds are amazing. It's one of the few places, but the Wi-Fi extender is crap that I have, it seems. Even though I got some disgustingly big one, I just don't know why it's so slow. So I need to sort it out.
You know what it is? It's like Mando's house is so big that the Wi-Fi doesn't extend anymore. I love the background. This got the epic duck background with triple
guns. It's just incredible.
Build in for me.
This is so good. Anyways, I love that. Host technical skills are completely their own. I mean, look, I'm still going to have to revisit this Portugal thing. I mean, if there's any Portuguese people in the room right now with us, can you please tell me if your Wi-Fi works or not? Because as long as Mando's been moved to Lisbon, he's had internet issues. It's not even his own fault. I mean, the guy pays for the most expensive internet in Portugal, I'm sure. Anyways, today on the show, we have a show for y'all today. Today on the show, Daily Market Report. Obviously, we're going to talk about the CPI and all those inflation numbers and this and that you guys love talking about because clearly they came in good because we are up and off to the races positively this morning. State of Wisconsin has more conviction than 99% of UMFers on the timeline. We'll talk about that too. Vanguard appoints Bitcoin-friendly CEO. Woo, works on the IBIT. ETFs. I saw you post that, Tyler, this morning. I had that in my drafts for my fantasy top. I snoozed. I lost. And then Coinbase sees billions of BTC leaving exchange. I'm hearing there's only 40 BTC left on the OTC markets. What do we have? I mean, we have even on the trad part or macro part, we have Biden this morning accepting 2 pound-for-pound fights. I'm hearing they're going to fight rookies setting up the crypto fight night. I'm hearing they're going to fight pound for pound. I mean, that's going to be interesting, but that also makes the whole thing, very interesting with Bowden actually pumping quite hard on the back of that. So they're going to be going back to back with 2 debates. Tornado Cash developer guilty of money laundering, which is crazy. Free him. You have a bunch of other stuff. And then alts, memes, and dreams. I mean, we're mid fantasy top tournament right now. Mando, I am starting you for my comment tournament. I need you to tweet more. Tyler, you're cooking. you have a bunch of memes flying. I just mentioned Bowden because Biden. Get it? A bunch of stuff going on there. Remember the Gilda Gordons? Mando? Gilda Gordons?
Yeah.
Well, they just launched with $1 million worth of prizes. And it's part of our titles. I just saw that. I thought that was funny. And then last but not least, we will be joined by Forbes today. Forbes, Manuel, I believe from Forbes, is going to be joining us to talk about the cabal Just kidding. We're going to talk about the Forbes list that they put out not long ago and what they're up to and what's happening. So I know a lot of people were tweeting about it, talking about it back then. So they're joining us as today's show partner to go over everything they're doing in the space, which actually is pretty cool, if you ask me. And last but not least, this show is powered by MoonPay. To buy, sell your crypto with PayPal, download the MoonPay app. Hell yeah. We talk about onboarding normies. I mean, these MFers right there, they are doing the job. Anyways, without further ado, let's get right into it.
Who is the man, Macro Daddy of the land? Can you dig it?
GM, everyone. So, looks like a stronger day. We'd been selling off slightly into that figure. We'd kind of hit a 63K ahead of the CPI figure that just came out. Yesterday we had a slightly hotter inflation figure for wholesale prices. Today it was right on the money, is what everyone predicted. I don't really know. This is kind of what I said yesterday. I wouldn't read into this like too aggressively. Like, the numbers would just came in as expected, and we've rallied off the back of it. I think the main thing that you can read into is that we saw probably the biggest single inflow day in weeks. I think we saw 100 million of inflows, which we haven't seen for at least 3 or 4 weeks. So it'd always been very, very small numbers before that. And actually we had outflows before that. So it was, that's been the main thing. We just saw like a big, big inflow. There'd obviously been some headlines over the last 24 hours about Wisconsin coming in and buying, which I thought was just kind of wild. And maybe that caused other institutional people to get on board. I have no idea, but yeah, that was the main thing. We just saw an inflow day, spot buying. There was also a massive, I think something like the third biggest outflow day, as in Bitcoin leaving the exchange, for Coinbase this year. So spot buying was what was driving us higher, mainly on Coinbase. It seems money leaving exchanges is normally a very, very good sign. And then an inflow day on the ETF. So just like a positive reaction to what I would say was an inline number. And that tells you a lot. It tells you that we were positioned to kind of bounce there. What I think here is exactly what I think, same as what I think yesterday. I'm not reading into this and being like, we're going to 100K or the banana zone. And I think you got to be wary of like buying into like some very aggressive narrative off like one day of ETF inflows and a fairly benign figure, like 3.4% is kind of what everyone predicted. But I do think that I do think you had Mike Novogratz, who runs Galaxy, came out yesterday and he said he thinks Bitcoin is now going to consolidate for a while between 55K and 75K. I agree with that. I think we're here now in a range for a while, if I'm honest, until we start to see persistent, substantive inflows. Today was a good day. Probably means that we're not going down to 55K anytime soon, but I'd be very unsurprised if we kind of range between those two levels for a month or two, or maybe even until the summer here.
But that is good, right?
I think it's good, but like we did that for months last year and the timeline literally wanted to kill themselves. So yeah, like it is what it is, really. Like, if you're prepared for it, it's good. If you're imminently expecting 150K Bitcoin, you know, maybe it's bad. But I do think that you've got to probably consider a world here, in my opinion, that we're still going to be range bound. I may be like, I'm predicting that. I'm still obviously massively bullish crypto. I'm not saying like, oh, you know, sell your crypto. I'm just telling you that my mindset right now is not buying into momentum, chilling in spot, choosing spots in meme coins where I think I can make 10x, or like esoteric things where I can make a 10x. But in general, just yeah, not using leverage that much, just kind of chilling.
Matt, I don't even remember last time I cracked leverage up. Not gonna lie. It's been months. Yeah. Like, I don't remember last time I literally traded with leverage, even slightly. Like, even as a try. Like, I used to toss trades for fun. I don't even remember last time I took a trade, Mando. I think the last trade I took was yesterday on Fantasy Top. And it was like a tiny little baby trade. I took profit on one card to buy more cards from different heroes. Like, I have not traded all April. All I did in April was actually buy more Epic Duck. Not even kidding. Like, that's the only thing I bought in April, and we were traveling a lot between Dubai and Paris and Hong Kong. And in May, I mean, we're midway through May, and I still haven't bought anything. I mean, Tyler, do you actively trade? Do you leverage trade, actively trade? What's your play here?
I don't leverage trade. I view like meme coins and NFTs as my levered bets on those ecosystem currencies. So I'm just not good at trying to time, you know, 10x, 100x longs on anything. I'm kind of with you. So I was deep in it, you know, through the winter and spring. And then I kind of stopped doing the meme coin trading to a degree, but like, we got to get back out there. And like, I kind of lost that muscle memory of being ready to be fast and fire on some of these tokens. Like, I guess it's Harambe's birthday and the token pump 70%. Like, that's an easy narrative that we could have jumped on, right? Like, I missed all like the Roaring Kitty and GME stuff just because I didn't have the muscle memory. I wasn't there. I wasn't used to logging in and just clicking the green button. And if we're going to be here all summer chopping, which I think I tend to agree with Mando, that seems to be the setup, there's going to be opportunities, and the opportunities are going to be in the meme coin streets, most likely along with some other consumer crypto apps. We'll talk about Fantasy Top later. But you got to be ready. And so I think we really got to get back out there, Farouk.
Yeah, I saw. So I think, Mando, you're talking about this consolidation period, right? Like, I saw it yesterday, this chart, right? Which was 210 days of consolidation last year.
Yeah.
And then, is that
I don't what think we're going to be like that? Like, I do think we're going to see. It would be tough for me to imagine that we're not going to see more like substantial Bitcoin ETF inflows. This feels like we're going to continue. Like, I still think we're going to push on, but it might just take a little bit of time. That would be like max pain. 210 days was. That was what, 7 months? That was pretty wild. I don't think we'd do that, or at least I'm just praying that we don't do that. But this is the thing about being in crypto for a while. Like, you realize that there are periods of boredom and you just can't quit during those periods. Like, you've gotta have the mentality that like the up periods are often much, much shorter. Mm-hmm. than the chop periods. And for me, I feel like we're entering one of those chop periods, and you just got to have patience.
And I mean, what jumps out to me is I think a lot of folks have the thesis that they think Q4 is when we're going to pump, or perhaps Q1 2025. And I guess, I mean, the reality is 4 to 6 months of chop like is aligned with that theory, right? Like, that means you're going to chop into those quarters and then things are going to jump. So I don't know. It's like, it's painful in the moment. Luckily we've got, you know, fun, shiny new objects to keep us busy, but it does feel like it might be kind of a boring summer.
I mean, when you think about it, like, and I know Mando back then, like, we talked about this with you, Ovi and I, and you guys didn't like say, yeah, cycles do repeat themselves, but it's always the case. But like, the post-halving cycle is usually always the same thing, right? Like, from what we've seen prior to this, there's like this consolidation period and then it goes higher. I mean, for what it's worth, like, what I picked up in Asia, and I asked the same question to everyone, like, every time I talked to a fund or like a large trader or whatever, and got to have a lot of these conversations out there, was like, hey, so what do you think about the crypto market? Like, I literally asked that to everybody when I meet them, and everybody seems to say the same thing you guys were saying. It's like, it's gonna be a consolidation period post-halving, and then the market is going to resume, right? And it allows for consumer crypto apps, like you're talking about, Tyler, and meme coin, right? This whole SocialFi pumped up fun meta to actually thrive, which is actually not that bad. And so I guess so. This is what we're seeing right now, ever since. But anyways, so that's that on the market side. Look, CPI numbers came in. Says everybody's a CPI expert now. Actually, you know what? Tyler posted the numbers. I mean, what does this all mean? Like, I'm not gonna lie. I've been asking the same questions for 3 years now to the boys. I still don't really understand. Is it good, bad? CPI came under. I mean, what does this all mean? Mando, Tyler, open-ended question. What's next? Like, now what?
Man, I mean, you're the expert here more than me. I just knew that if we were going to come in over that number, it was going to be bad. If we came in under, it was likely going to be good. And it seemed that binary to me. I'm sure you've got more nuance.
So, yeah, I didn't see that the monthly came in slightly under. But, like, this was just kind of on the money. I think, like, maybe slightly under. Yeah, basically looks very, very close to what it was. Pretty good. It's just, to be honest, to me, this seems like a kind of a nothing number. Like, this was what everyone was expecting. It just means that the Fed is less likely to raise rates. That's all it means. And we had that commentary already yesterday, so I don't really think you've learned that much. You know, I'm just trying to see what macro has done on the back of it. But I imagine it looks like bond yields are down a little bit, like nothing crazy, but they are down. And it looks like futures are up 0.5%. But again, like if you're seeing on the timeline, we've seen like wild predictions, like from stagflation to like we're going to hit growth is going to go absolutely bananas, or we're gonna, like money supply is going to go crazy. My view is right now, it just macro is should kind of be in the rearview mirror. I just feel, I know that it just doesn't seem like much is going on for me in macro. Like yeah. This, I remember times where you'd have massive misses or massive beats, and it felt as though we were very, very close to a recession. To me, we're talking about a light slowdown maybe here, but nothing that should like cause crypto to go to zero or anything like that. Like the Kobe, what he painted the other day, which is like this like horrific period now of like Fed changing his policy. I just don't see that. And I don't see some money printing, everyone goes crazy policy either, at least in the US. It does seem to be the case in other countries. So yeah, for me, this is just a benign figure but slightly bullish. And people just looking for reasons why crypto is going higher rather than actually directing it.
I think maybe why I would say it's a little bit more than just benign is I feel like there's just so much fear and folks are just so worried about the next metric or the next headline that's going to just, you know, tank markets. I saw a headline, S&P 500 hit is at all-time high. So it's just chilling at all-time high. Like everyone is just waiting for like, okay, what bad is going to happen to knock it off that? And folks were worried that inflation was running high. And they thought it was going to be reflected in the data. And it turns out maybe it's not that bad. So maybe we can keep this rolling.
Yeah, I think people are tripping a little too much. But that goes back to what we were all talking about yesterday. Like maybe people just need to go away or stay occupied. Like just build or focus on your work. Like I was talking to some friends about this yesterday. I was like, look, like even me personally, like it is an uncomfortable position when you're like, well, just a few months ago, I was up like a ridiculous amount. And then yesterday, all-time low doom posting and reading on the timeline. And I did feel something. I was like, damn, like, and I know, man, you probably saw it. Like, I was talking about it with Ovi and D's and Co. And I was like, well, it does suck, right? That, yeah, there was a, oh, yeah, Puppets was just like half a Bitcoin. Or Solana was just 210, 215, right? Or Whiff was just $5. Yeah, I am up like a couple, multiple seven figures. And you're like, shit, I coulda, woulda, shoulda again. Oh, did I do it again? Did I miss a top again? Did I do this again? And so all these thoughts start coming into your head, right? And I'm talking about myself. This is how I felt yesterday. Like the last 2 days kind of sucked because I was like, I was not like pissed, but I was just annoyed, right? I'm like, fuck, did I do it again? Like, did I do 2021 all over again? Am I going to round trip a multiple seven figure bag again, right? And so you start thinking like this, and then you wake up this morning and Bitcoin's at 65K and you're like, let's go. So I don't know. I'm just sharing this because I'm trying to study myself because I'm a bulltard. And like, it's really a weird position to be. But you know one thing I'll never be, guys? It's a bear. And let me tell you something about the bears on the timeline. Okay? And that's something I was talking about with Mando and Tyler before coming on is I cannot believe that these people are leading people to the chop house and making all these people, these sell their hard-earned coins. And that's why I always talk about this, right? There's something between being a realist, which is like, okay, you got to be cautious. You got to be real about the state of the market. Like Mando and Tyler come, give you numbers, they set data, you study the data, you make a trade, right? And there's this, and then there's calling with half a million followers and calling for a top. And what you don't realize is we're pretty fortunate. I'd like to think all three of us, like we've done good, we're doing good, and we're going to continue doing good because we're busy, we got work and stuff. But the average Joe that logs into Twitter once, twice a day to see how the timeline is doing, makes $80,000 a year, if as much, has a tiny little crypto portfolio and gets shaken out of their hard-earned coins and then wakes up and sold it yesterday at 61K and wakes up this fucking morning and it's 65K, feels like shit. And I think this sucks. And this is why you guys see me like hate bears so much. Bears fucking suck, dude. Like you're out here calling for a cycle top. We haven't cycled yet. Like, if the cycle is done now, crypto's finished. Like, there's no industry. I don't know how you guys feel about this, but cycle. Like, I look at crypto now, 150 SOL. At $130 SOL, it's over. At 152 SOL, you're excited again. At 65K Bitcoin, you're excited. At 61K Bitcoin, it's over. Like, this is what really pisses me off and why I'm so euphorically bullish on a timeline on purpose. Mm. Like, I push the bullishness on purpose, though I'm cautious, more cautious in the back. Because, dude, like, it's crazy, man. It's crazy. Like, all of a sudden, imagine you sold everything yesterday, how you feel today. You probably get another crack at the prices from yesterday again in a few weeks. So
I think what you're saying, you're railing against is that, like, people with influence are bearish. And I think the thing about it, and even traders, because I think a lot of people who are bearish are actually traders. They're like, they're day traders who see some sort of a pattern and they think it's going to go lower. And I think one thing that I would notice, and this is throughout my trading career, assets in general go up, right? Even crypto, they generally go up, and like at least the majors. If you're going to be a bear in any market, you're going to have to be an incredible trader. Mm. Like, you have to really time things, because you're really buying something to hope to buy that dip. And not only do you have to be right on the times where it's going to go lower, but then you have to be right on closing that and then flipping long. Often, like, you can execute being bearish, right? Let's say Bitcoin's at 60K. I'm bearish. I put on a short from 60K to 55K. I make money. Then it goes to 100K, right? I may have felt like I was a good trader because I made that money from 60 to 55K, but then I miss out on the 55K. So I think one thing I would say about bearish takes is that they are by nature short term, and that people who push them, I think they have to be, you know, you just have to be wary of, like, when to push them, because normally you have to be a great trader. Like, unless you think Bitcoin is literally going to 20K and is never coming back, then I don't think you should be like pitching short-term bearish views.
Yeah.
I think what I said is just like, maybe dial it up and down the risk, like, be, you know,
yeah, you've been, if you're going to be leveraged
or not. But I think right now is the time for being in spot. So I would agree with that. I think you got to be, if you're going to have a bearish view, you got to understand that if you have a following, that they might follow it, and they're not going to be switching bullish like the next day.
I mean, in the other way, maybe when I'm really bullish, some of my followers will not sell in time, which sucks also. Like, it goes both ways, right? But I just think that, you know, it's a dangerous
thing. Also, I would say is you should never price your portfolio at the top, man. You always do this.
I know, right? Always.
Get yourself to the top benchmark and you're like, right, this is it.
Exactly.
Like, in general, I've learned in crypto, it's like always have like, right, 30% discount on what I'm going to have, 40% discount. I remember at the top of the Bored Apes, I'm pretty sure me and Obi had like 50 million worth of Bored Apes, including the coin, right? Like, and I remember turning to him being like, we couldn't sell it either. Like, it wasn't like it was an easy sell.
It was no blur. Yeah.
So, and that subsequently went down to like 15 and then bounced from there. But like, you cannot price yourself at the top of this stuff, because the paper gains and paper losses, they come and go as quickly as they possibly can. Like, if you are living on those paper gains, then it's, you're going to kill yourself in terms of your mentality.
Yeah, paper gains is the worst thing to look at. Anyways, speaking of paper gains, I mean, not speaking of paper gains, in case you missed it, more, you know, I'm going to keep y'all shoving fucking bullish narratives down y'all's throats, okay? Because there's ducks out there calling for cycle tufts. Anyways, I'm not talking about the epic one. But in case you missed it, Salim Ramji was announced as the next CEO of Vanguard, their first outside hire. Salim was previously the head of BlackRock's global ETF business. Vanguard was notably the most anti-crypto of the major investment managers under their current CEO. What if? I mean, look at this chat. Look at him. This guy is going to be bidding your Bitcoin with Vanguard while you're trying to sell your Bitcoin, all right? So be careful with your corn. So I saw this yesterday. On the less positive news, though, I did see this headline as well. It's looking more and more likely that this Ethereum ETF is not happening this month because the SEC is like doing everything they want. Gary Gensler is working overtime to deem Ethereum a security. Ethereum is not a security, but they want to make it sound as such. So it's not looking great. But boys, I saw that the deadline for BlackRock is what, August? What do we think? If this has happened in May, do we think there's a chance it happens in August?
No, I think we're talking end of the year. If I'm honest, like I think if they reject it now, it's going to take a few months or so to like. I think BlackRock in their application actually asked, "Could this?" Because you can still have an ETF with securities, right? Like, it doesn't have to be a commodity for it to be an ETF. Like, you have lots of stock ETFs. So BlackRock actually asked, I think, a question being like, is ETH a commodity or a security? My guess is that BlackRock might be working with the SEC here, and they know that it's about to be classed as called a security, and then BlackRock might turn into the bad guy. That last piece of news that you said, I think, was maybe even bigger, though. Which was like Vanguard. Vanguard are massive, right? Vanguard have like $8 trillion of assets. They're number two to BlackRock, and they've been very, very against ETFs. Very, very against crypto.
Crypto.
Their CEO left. They brought in this new guy. If they did an ETF, it would be big. It would probably be about the size of BlackRock's, I imagine. So you're probably adding even more AUM to all of this.
Yeah.
It's massive, folks. So like my old 401k is through Vanguard, and I can't buy the Bitcoin ETFs in that retirement plan. And I'm one of millions of Americans in that situation. And I just hope people don't underestimate how big, you know, this could be. Like that's the biggest headline of the day. Yeah. So like, yeah, we might chop, consolidate all summer, but long-term time horizon, this is going higher if these guys start buying.
Yeah. I mean, man, in Asia, they're obsessed with Bitcoin, dude. And they're so bullish on Bitcoin over there. I mean, Hong Kong loves Bitcoin. I mean, literally, like, I had meetings with people that represent InvestHK. So by default, like, the government. And they're, like, trying to help crypto companies move into Hong Kong. Like, this is, like, me reporting to you guys live from the trenches. Like, I was there, right? I make these trips to go see the feeling and how it is all around the world. You have places where they literally want you to move there. They will help you pay salaries. Like, there's a place called Cyberport in Hong Kong, which is where Animoca is. Their headquarters. Went to visit Yat and Min over there, and they literally will help you move out there and will help you pay salaries of your employees, will invest in your company, will incubate you, will accelerate you. And so over there, it's like super bullish. And you come back in America and you have to read this timeline, which sometimes drives me insane. And so the best thing to do is really just like, you know, be checking. I was kind of going back and forth about this on a timeline, agreeing with one another. It's like, this is the period where just pick something up and get busy, right? If you're in school, university, because a lot of people are like younger and you don't have, obviously university is done for the rest of the summer, just intern at a fucking crypto company or something and stay busy. Anyways, so to go back to macro and crypto, and then let's go to our memes, alts, memes, dreams, and let's go back to our fantasy top here, because I'm really curious to hear your take on what's going on here, Tyler. But you have AMC stock is down 25 points today, and you have GME, GameStop, down 30 something points today. But Roaring Kitty posted a video, I don't know if you guys saw, 15 minutes ago, which is actually crypto related. So I don't know. Is he going to move all the masses to the crypto side? I mean, this it's the first time there's like a whole mention of crypto in one of his videos.
Here's my side, and you haven't heard my side yet. You haven't heard any of it at all.
You're a drug dealer.
No, what? How? What?
Yeah. How else could you possibly make that kind of money?
That was such a good show, by the way.
Marijuana. That Pinkman kid. No? Oh my God, Walt. Cocaine?
Crypto. Memes, right? See? Crypto, memes.
I'm a manufacturer. I'm not a dealer. No.
Skylar,
no. Oh my
God. A lot of angles to this, okay? It's complicated.
Let me the hell out of here before I throw up.
So what do we think here? I mean, for those of you who are not on video, you kind of have to like watch it on video, because he replaces like what they're saying when he talks about cocaine. It's crypto. When he talks about methamphetamines, he means methamphetamines. Are we seeing, is he going to shift all this attention to crypto here? Because this is the first video. First, all of them. It's the first one that directly talks about crypto. Bando, you muted.
No, I don't think so. I think he's He's still for the stocks, man. I think he's still for stonks. I just feel like he should stop posting videos. Like,
I know. I actually started to feel that too.
It feels so different. I wasn't following him super closely in 2021, but it's just these random videos now that they're pumping. Like yesterday's video had GameStop in it, and then GME token did pump like 30% like immediately when he posted that video. Then it fell back, and now this. I don't know. I feel like folks are starting to get a little more skeptical of this. We need to see a little more substance here soon, or folks are going to stop buying into it.
It's falling doubled in 2 days. This is insane. Like, I don't know. I'm just wondering what happens next in that thing. Because, you know, what was it? I read that the GameStop pump over a month happened over 2 days this time around. Like, you know, last time they squeezed it up to, like, I don't know how much. It took a whole month, right? And then, like, you know, and now you have this is that.
GME's anywhere near it was before, right? I think GME went up to like 1,000 or something crazy. What did GME go to? No, it went to. GME went to 100. Looks like.
I think even more.
I thought it went up way more than that. Yeah.
Yeah, it went up to 81 USD. Why am I?
Maybe I don't remember it correctly. I don't remember either. I think on the day this is on a daily candle, so you don't see the intraday, but there were like wild moves intraday, as far as I remember.
I'm pretty sure I saw it in the 200s one day, like intro. But some people
I remember something crazy like that, right?
I'm pretty sure intraday all time high was like intraday ATH GME. Let's see. I don't really know, but I'm pretty sure intraday, like, we saw it go like way higher than $100. Forgot what it was. I don't remember. But hey, hopefully GME had a 4-to-1 stock split. They also had a 4-to-1 stock split since.
Okay, that makes more sense.
So that does mean they're way higher than the ATH now.
Yeah. So shares of GameStop, which hit an all-time intraday high of 120 in January 2021.
Yeah. So they've already reached that all-time high, which is insane when you think about it. They're in 48 hours. Versus last time, it took a whole month to make that happen. I hate when this MacBook does. I'm back. Am I back? There you go. We're so back. Anyways, so that's that. All right. So let's talk about alts, memes, and dreams. I mean, Tyler, what's the TLDR? Give us the alpha. What is happening on Fantasy Top right now? What's the state of the tournament? You have a crazy lineup.
Yeah. So you probably saw your favorite influencers start to tweet a lot more yesterday evening and into this morning. That's because the main tournament 2 did begin at 5 p.m. Eastern yesterday, and it did come with another all-time high day of trading volume and a record number of active traders, but the floor prices did take a hit on the day. I think some notable stats just to start us off. So 1920 ETH in trading volume, that's over $5 million, 7200 traders, 12,699 players registered for the tournament. So that's down about 6,000 or so from tournament 1. I thought that was pretty interesting. Card floors, as I noted, were down. Zeneca did a great tweet. So go check his out if you haven't already. Some summary numbers. 76% of the cards are down on the day. 41% are down 20% or more. And just 9% of the cards are up 20%. So he's got the whole spreadsheet. I mean, he's running back the whole 2021 arc with his spreadsheet price updates. I think there's a little bit of maybe confusion might be a strong word. I think some surprise on the scoring algorithm. So it does seem like the active tweeters are perhaps getting rewarded more than folks thought they might be. So you can see some of them at the top of the leaderboard. And then I think probably the most interesting/fun story out of this is Franklin is bored, is trying to break the game. So he started out by auto-scheduling videos of himself reading out the time and posting them every 5 minutes. So it looks like he's going to do this for the entire tournament. And then he posted a video link of himself sleeping, and over 2,000 people were watching him sleeping this morning.
See you in 5 minutes.
Oh my God, dude. I mean, can't hit the player, right?
He made 144 videos, assuming that he can use the same video for like 6:05 a.m. and 6:05 p.m. It's incredible dedication.
Where is the video of him sleeping? I want to see if he snores.
It was at like 7 a.m. this morning. So you're going to have to, it's so hard to scroll through his feed.
I found it. So it's literally him sleep. I don't get it. Like, what do you see him? Bro, Franklin, blink twice if you need help, okay? So that is some of the, that is the most absurd thing I've ever seen. Let's look at the standings here. So this is like the updated one. So you're right. I guess they're, oh, there you go. They're Tyler's 23. God damn. You're whooping our asses okay. over here. Sheesh, 23rd. I'm down there because I guess you got to tweet a lot. Like maybe I should post, like auto post 30 minutes. I mean, Mando, what are we gonna do?
I don't even tweet. So
yeah, I am 109. I mean, I was like 130 something. So I'll take that. God damn it, Mando. Oh, there it is. 127. There's Mando. That's so terrible. I mean, Tyler, how many
people are there?
I'm just thinking 140.
140.
Nice.
Yeah, so you're in the bottom third. You're both in the bottom half. So love you guys. You're terrible performers so far in this tournament. So Farouk, I'm really going to need you to step it up because I think you've only got two legendary cards and I've got one of them. Okay, so you are my primary differentiator. I am I'm doing all right. I am in 200th place right now.
I've tweeted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times already. It's 10 a.m. Jesus Christ, man. How many times am I meant to tweet? I see Pancakes right now. Let's let him up on stage. Pancakes is here. He's requesting to speak. And Pancakes, bro, is cooking right now. I mean, this Fantasy Top tournament is off to the... I'm having so much fun playing this game, honestly. I love it. I think this is what the people need right now in this market. Pancakes, what's up, dude?
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Dude, you're on one. You're on one. What's your secret?
Oh, dude, they woke up the boogeyman.
What's secret? Like, what's the alpha here?
I don't know. Okay, so Fantasy Top drop, right? I didn't even know I was on like a part of the game. I woke up and people were like, "Tweet more, bitch." I was like, "What?" And I found out I was a card, and I kind of faded it at first, and then I looked and I had made like 4 ETH, and I was like, "Oh, this could be fun." So I just decided to go in, and I stopped trying to build my account like 6 months ago. I've been working and founding and doing other things, but I was like, this is fine. I'm taking a break from everything right now. Like I'm not working or anything at the moment. So I'll just start tweeting like I used to, except a lot more. So yeah, I don't schedule tweets or anything. I just kind of tweet whatever I'm feeling at the moment. Like I just kind of, you know, YOLO it. And so far so good.
All right. I like it. I guess that's the secret, man, though. We got to tweet more.
Hey, Froke, I got to jump in. So
Franklin was in my space for like 3 hours tonight. We were talking, and he's trying to game the system by tweeting like every 5 minutes. And I was like, I don't know, man, because like, I'm above Franklin in the rankings, I think. And I have substantially less followers than him. But I was like, dude, like what's always worked for me is tweeting like about once an hour and it being a very well thought out, hopefully banger. But he's going for pure volume and it's working for him to a certain extent, but,
seems like you're working smart and he's working hard.
But you need reach as well as like volume. So in your like Twitter doesn't let your tweet cook unless you leave it up for about an hour before tweeting again.
I see.
Didn't realize Pancakes was going to lean in so much. So I had about 15 Pancake comments. He was way too cheap, and I just didn't know that he was gonna lean in this much. I sold off about 10, egg all over my face.
That is so funny. I mean, let's look at your deck. I mean, how much have you spent on this deck, Tyler?
So I only put in like 2 to 3 ETH, and then I rolled your legendary, and then I was like, okay, I could actually make a run at this game now. So I put another like 5 to 6 ETH in. Mostly in that the team that I put for the deck. So the Epic Zeneca is probably like 2, 2.5 ETH. Selkis is probably 2 ETH. Rare Gen probably
right now. What are you ranking right now in the tournament? Like as a player?
I'm like 199 right now. So I need Selkis to step it up. If Selkis steps it up, I have a legit shot to get like top 20. And
Selkis is not tweeted, right?
He's tweeted a few times, but like I need him to go viral. Like I need him to get into like a hot political crypto debate and really take over the timeline here.
I mean, speaking of hot political debates, I mean, Mando, What do you think about this one? Trump accepts Biden's challenge for presidential debate next month. God damn, I know you were big on Biden for a moment. That seemed to have pumped quite a bit. But that's pretty crazy. Trump quickly replied on Truth Social, "I'm ready and willing to debate," in his word, "Crooked Joe at the two proposed times in June and September. I would strongly recommend more than two debates and, for excitement purposes, a very large venue."
Yeah, I think there have been some talk that Trump would, because Trump hasn't done any of the primary debates, no. I believe. So there was some talk that he might also avoid it. Like, Trump's not a young guy either, but maybe this is Biden thinking, you know, this is the... People did say he did well in the debates last time around, like better than expected. So maybe he's going for that this time. I don't know. Depends how much they're moderated or not. I mean, yeah. As a completely neutral observer, I wouldn't say that talking in public is Biden's strong point.
Yeah. What do you think, Tyler, as an American?
Yeah, so I am not a neutral observer. For one, the Democratic National Convention is at the United Center. It's four blocks from my house. So the Chicago is going to be in the hotbed of all of this summer. Biden needs a body double to have any chance in a debate with Trump. I mean, 4 years ago, he did well. I remember watching those debates and being surprised. I don't see how he's going to run it out this time around. But it rejuvenated Biden. Biden's up 52% because of this. Now, you know, there's going to be two, you know, marquee opportunities for him on a stage across the entire country. And if he does well, the token probably pumps. If he fumbles, the token probably pumps more. So,
Right? Like, I feel like exactly what Peggy said. Like, what you guys are both saying, like, it just pumps either way, right? Like, you can have, like, a funny moment happen to him, and this token probably flies. And he could also just, like, cook Trump and his flies. Like, I don't know. Like, because it was really down pretty bad, but that was probably on the base that, like, we knew he wouldn't be out there, right? And now it's like, well, he's going to be out there twice. And it's coming. June is around the corner, boys. Like, June is literally around the corner. So we'll see what happened. But some people are saying that Trump is washed up. Some people are saying that he's falling apart. Some people are saying that he may not be there due to legal issues. Listen, I don't know what's going on, y'all. But this has an effect on my bags, so I have to care. You know? So I have to care. Look, Mando's like frozen. It's so funny. He's like frozen and smiling.
Oh, really?
It's hilarious. You're frozen and smiling frozen, so it's not bad, at least. You're looking good, Mando. Don't worry. You're looking good. You're looking healthy. You're looking sharp, as usual. So I think that's that. On that front, I think, you know, what we could do, because I see Manny's already in the studio. So we'll get to our partners for today's show at Forbes. But tomorrow, maybe we could do a little roundup on NFTs, because I'm actually curious too. Like, what the hell's going on in NFTs? I just opened Magic Eden. My puppets are down to 0.18 Bitcoin. What have you guys done?
Just close out that tab as fast as you can. That's the only move you can make. I can run us through it. It's painful. So we'll do it tomorrow
because I'm not ready for pain yet. So I'll be more ready for the pain yesterday. But I'm seeing a lot of red in general on NFTs and across the board. I mean, every time I open the Solana, NFTs are even lower. It's like those are like, it's like even worse over there. ETH NFTs are bleeding. Luca can sell 10 million toys and y'all will still be selling, which is crazy. And then the Bitcoin puppets, I mean, world peace. What happened to world peace, y'all? What happened to runes changing the stage of Bitcoin? God damn it. God damn it. We really need this whole market to pump so you guys can have some conviction all over again.